That's not your problem.
I have the cowbell hat.
That's a cowbell.
That's always my favorite part of certain songs.
Sam?
Sam,
what happened?
It rained?
Oh,
I got a small
cowbell. Okay, I'm turning to your friend. Okay.
If you're standing in the doorway,
it's
going to be a great meeting.
Calling to order our annual meeting.
Uh-huh.
Thank you all for coming. Don't all crowd over at the door there.
Beth will be our gatekeeper. Nobody leaves.
Nobody leaves.
No exit.
By email, we gave notice to the members of the meeting and of the agenda. We also circulated draft minutes from the January 6th meeting. Does anyone suggest any changes to those minutes? I move we adopt the minutes for January 6th as circulated.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Welcome, Pamela.
Shall we do the budget before the election, or?
Which one is
Well, we have
more
the treasurer's
exciting.
Report.
The treasurer's report.
Yeah, right.
That's on the agenda.
Okay. Good luck. In the hole here. We started January 2018 with a balance of $27,401 in our checking account. We had deposits, which were contributions, additional contributions, of $525. And we had payments of $3,806, $3,000 of which was $3,000 that we moved into a savings account for the community plan update. And when we start reviewing the budget for 2018, you'll see that there's a line item for a contribution to that savings account for that purpose of $3,000, which we will move into the savings account if our contributions meet our goal. And as far as the contribution report for our last appeal that went out in September, we have had 233 responses of donations for a total of $18,060, which is a record for us.
How does that number of responses compare to last year or the year before?
I didn't give a report in February of last year, but I'm not sure if I have it here.
Okay.
I want to say that we are in the 13.
Isn't it right there in the budget? It's right there in the top.
Oh.
Yeah, membership contributions.
As of January, as of January of this year, we had 229, and in January of 2017, we had 199. So it is up. And at 233, that's about half the town. So,
which is wonderful.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone, for supporting us.
You're right.
Well, I just spend it wisely.
Well, that's what the budget's for.
So we circulated the budget, did we not?
We circulated a draft budget.
Right.
The expenses projected for 2018 are pretty much the same for last year. $50 more for the insurance. One, and we don't get that bill until November. I'm just thinking that it'll probably go up. Our web hosting, I've put an additional $80 to our the actual expenses last year of $421. I'm suggesting we budget 500 for that because there's always something for our webmaster to do. Everything else is pretty much the same. The $3,000 is in there for the community plan update, which I said we will fund that account if the contributions warrant it. We will not fund it at the expense of any other item on the budget. And everything else is pretty much the same. So if we are projecting a revenue of $13,000 and our expenses of $11,600 with a net of $1,400. And as it stands with our current bank account, we try to keep 1 year's expenses in the bank. And so that's about where it is.
Well, I move we adopt for the year going forward, 2018, the budget you've just described and that which we circulated for member review and approval.
I second it.
Thank you.
Am I reading this wrong, or is this titled Budget 2017?
Here you go.
Up over here. The same thing. Up at the tippy top.
Up at the top.
Yeah, it's true. It should be.
So I suggest we edit this.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
is that right?
Top.
Shouldn't it be 2018?
At the very top.
What?
Oh, the very, very, very top?
Yeah.
Okay.
Versus
the budget.
The heading?
The
heading,
yeah.
Okay.
The budget with the interlineation?
2018.
So the column to the far left is the draft budget for 2018.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's
just the title.
Some explanation.
Okay.
I move we adopt that budget, the one now corrected. And I believe you will second it.
I second that. Thank
so, members, do we adopt the budget? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The matter carries. Is there any old business? We don't have any on the agenda. Let's go to the new business, the first of which is the annual election of officers. We circulated the slate. Just for to clarify the note in italics there, Terry Gordon is vice president and according to the bylaws succeeds me as president, and then the slate is as indicated. Essentially everybody continuing in their positions, but Terry and I swap and I become vice president.
Well, how come he's not on?
Because he's already, he has a 2-year term under the bylaws. So he's completed his first year term as vice president and moves to the second year of his term as president. I don't recall whether we open it for nominations or just...
Yes.
Are there any nominations for alternatives other than the slate?
Alternative facts.
One side facts, two side theory. Okay, there being no nominations from the
floor.
Shall we vote on the proposed slate?
Well, before you vote, may I say something?
Of course.
I just want to congratulate all of you because I think you really have done a good job and put a lot of time and effort into this thing, and I think it's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, everyone.
That's very nice.
The only thing.
All in favor of electing the individuals identified in the slate to the positions identified?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
So, the election having occurred, our new president takes to, over the meeting.
Okay. We've already adopted the budget.
Oh, I see I did it out of order.
Do you want to rethink your thing?
No, he's leaving.
Why don't we the community reports? Anybody from Art Contemporary Marin, Golden Gate National Recreation Area?
Mia did not submit a report this month. Unusual. I might need to check on her.
Yeah,
it's
good.
That's
a good idea. Okay.
Not
liked
her at all.
No, it's not.
The Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Committee.
I did not submit a report. I'm sorry I've been traveling, but I could give a 30 seconds.
That's fine.
Take your time. We're running ahead.
40 seconds. You've got 40 seconds. Yeah.
So the Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Committee met in a special session. It was actually late last year. And you may have read in the light that while the advisory committee itself, some technical reasons, did not, as an advisory committee, submit a letter of support of Marin College's request, I should say, the Department, I think, of Biology's request, that Marin College reopen and maintain the facility on Wharf Road in Salinas. We all individually, as members, including me as the Stinson representative, personally signed a letter supporting that. So if you saw that article in the light, we were one of the groups who individually, and so Stinson's representative would have also supported that action, saying we would like to see the college reopen this, do some really good science in the lagoon, and keep access open for people that want to use the lagoon for research, primarily, and to some extent, recreational uses.
Jeff, it's College of Marin, just a small...
College of Marin, yeah. Sorry, yes.
They get persnickety.
Right, thank you.
13 years I was there.
That's right. They did get persnickety.
Thanks, Jeff.
Can I ask a question of Jeff?
Sure.
One of the reasons for not opening that research station was the vast amount of improvements and modifications that need to be made to it. Has that been funded somehow?
It's been largely resolved. There was some misinterpretation of California state law governing, because most of that was because it was an earthquake zone,
right,
because of the fault. Right. So you may remember that discussion years ago. The belief of, well, I can't say it's the belief of the black, but the belief of the department having actually gotten some folks to pay for looking into it from a legal perspective, because that was misapplied, and it may have been that maybe some folks administratively didn't really want to spend money there, and had other projects that they wanted to spend. So having cleared that up, they believe that they can move forward. They're asking the college itself to put some money in, but it's not as drastic as it used to be. And they'll almost certainly go and look for local private funding to help support. But that's in the works. You know, this is still at the stage of, would they agree to do it?
I'm wondering if they could declare it as a historical site, because it's been there for quite a while.
I think there's a lot of other fallbacks they're considering. First and foremost, they'd simply like to start with a straightforward approach. There's so much pressure now from alumni and department heads, as well as the town and our supervisor, and to some extent the state now, that they think that there may be enough leverage that the college just kind of does the right thing and reopens it as an operating facility. I think that's their first attempt.
What do they study?
They've actually done some groundbreaking, really interesting marine life and sedimentation studies out of that facility in the past.
Like green crabs?
One of the guys on the board actually did look at green crabs 25 years ago in the Bolinas Lagoon. So yes, actually. So invasives, they've done a lot of invertebrate studies. Most of that research was 20, 25, 30 years ago.
How about last summer? Wasn't that the big...
That was actually in the artificial lagoon, Seabrook Lagoon, where most of the green crab were. They did some trapping exercises outside, but that wasn't through that facility. They did do some spot trapping in the big lagoon, but it was primarily in the small lagoon.
Well, will there play any part in the overall project of the Bolinas Lagoon update or whatever?
It could, yeah, the locally preferred plan for restoration activities in Lagoon. If that were to reopen, it would probably be a nice science foundation, and that was the justification with which the Black thought that they could talk about it. Exactly.
Well, who owns the one in Point Reyes that they're also talking about? Is that the state college?
I do not know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, there is another biological something or other there.
Jeff, do you want to put on your other hat and give the report of the Seadrift Association?
Sure, that's straightforward. So we had we have had a couple board meetings since I've been back. I've been traveling, so I just haven't been able to be here. So probably the most important for us, we had a discussion, and I think the agreement is, well, it wasn't a board motion, that we would make an attempt to try to have a board member here at most meetings on Saturdays,
mm-hmm.
so that we could present information and keep everyone in the communities updated and synced. And the majority of the board, no one opposed, but the majority of the board at the time thought that was a good idea. So I'll be trying to marshal a few more people. It's hard to do in January because it was the day after the Super Bowl, the day after New Year's. And I was gone. I was out of town. But we will be trying to get more representation here when I can't make it.
Correct.
That's
which
great.
Which is great. I hope
Thank
that
you.
Works well.
Yeah, that's really great.
And, you know, I do want to say that came a lot from requests from here, but it also came a lot from requests of people from Seadrift that don't come to this meeting. So I thought that was really positive. I mean, we've literally been stopped on the road and people say, you know, there should really be people come to these meetings. So we heard folks and we made that decision. Other than that, it's pretty pro forma. It's been kind of quiet. We did get the boat ramp finished. I talked before that it was closed while it was being maintained. It was completed on time, so the boat ramp's reopened. There is a lip on it. I'm sure that's a huge discussion among boaters. I don't know if anyone is here, so if they're not, I will just move on. But it was required by law. And there was one other thing. Oh, and then we held, this could be important as we start moving forward, we had a discussion. We raised the issue, but it was not on the agenda as an action item to take any vote on, but might be at an upcoming meeting. We raised the issue of the transitory occupancy tax suggested, and I have personally met Supervisor Bodoni, not as a member of the board, just personally, to understand some of his administrative actions. So while it doesn't show up in what he writes in his letter, I am aware that he intends independently of that tax proposal to also look at enforcement actions on collection with so that it's kind of fair across everyone. Currently, people that rent through rental agencies automatically pay that 10%. That goes to the county. It does not necessarily any of it come back here. Our last supervisor tried to get it.
They
sent
back about 30%.
Yeah, and so...
And that thing is flawed because, in fact, is we're being taxed on this side, and East Marin is not being taxed. And they sent all their clients over here to Point Reyes to go look at the whales, to look at the elephant seals, the Muir Woods, Stinson Beach, and they commute back to the Holiday Inn. I mean, you know the number of motels over there. I don't have to tell you. It's not fair.
So he is trying to administratively enforce more balanced and fair. It's actually not true that they're not taxed. They're taxed by their cities, and they're actually generally taxed at a higher rate than the county taxes. So most of the east side city motels, hotels, and so on are taxed at about somewhere between a 12 to 14% rate. But that city and the county doesn't get that money.
Yeah,
so that money doesn't come back.
The Holiday Inn is in the county.
You know, we could discuss that. I don't know the particulars. The point of the administrative action is on the other side, there are actions underway I'm aware of, but they haven't been approved at the board level to get better enforcement, to get more of that money back over to West Marin, and to really try to see increased monies for emergency services here in West Marin specifically, and for affordable housing here in West Marin specifically. So, you know, stay tuned. That's just hearsay at this point because no board action has been taken. But we do intend, if you're a Seadrifter or you are talking to one, people are going to get a letter because a lot of us got that letter in our post office boxes about the TOT. So we're going to make sure everyone knows about it, and we haven't yet taken official action. had initial discussions, but they were kind of generally supportive noises about the ideas of getting more money here, not necessarily the tax, but get more money here to support emergency services.
We've been asking the county to give us more money.
For a long time.
As long as I can remember. I've been coming to these meetings for 20 years.
Yeah. And so
there hasn't been an increase in funding, as well as the fact that if they want to raise money, they can charge for admission. This doesn't reach to the federal part. Well, that's actually not county. Sorry about that. But,
So there'll be a letter going out, and it's simply going to say the same thing I'm saying. Be aware. You know, if you're interested and concerned in either direction, you think it's unfair to have a tax, you want more money to come here, you know, it's probably a good time to agitate. You know, go to the upcoming board meetings to make your voice heard. It's kind of similar to the LCP.
Let me interject. I'm not sure where on the agenda I would have said this, but I was contacted by Radoni's office, and his current plan is to come after the April meeting for office hours here again, just as he did some months ago. So he will be available, and I think they expect a discussion of the TOT to be on the agenda. We'll put more information in next door about that, but you can think 2 months out. He'll be here. Whether he makes this meeting or just afterwards, I'm not sure. The other thing his assistant told me is that he plans to attend the Flood Advisory Board meeting later this month, and I'm sorry I don't know when that is. I emailed Jamie Sutton to find out what in particular was going on at the board, and really they're just reviewing how the creek has functioned and should be maintained in light of last year's torrential rains and this year's rains to date. So I don't know that it's anything other than their regular meeting. I'll try and get it on next door unless somebody here knows when it is. Pamela, do you know when it is?
No.
Okay. You're moving on. Good. Was there anything further, Mike?
No.
Yeah, Pamela.
I'm wondering if we should put Dennis's letter on the TOT in our minutes on our website for people to see. Does that have the approval of the board?
Fine with me. Anybody have any problem doing that?
Moved, seconded, and passed.
Great.
Scanned in PDF. This idea about the tax, you brought it up with me about 4 months ago. And I told him just, it's going to put another nail in the coffin of the only permitted businesses here in Citizen Beach, the three motels, the two motels and the bed and breakfast. And, you know, and the lack of taxing, the Holiday Inn, the Fountain, and other businesses that are in the county, other hotels and motels that are in the county. That's not fair.
Let's remember it's a pass-through tax.
It's a what?
It's a pass-through tax. You don't pay it. Your clients and customers do.
I know, but it only drives that many more people away.
No, it doesn't.
No,
yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway. Maybe not for the Airbnbs. Maybe not for the Airbnbs, because those people are better funded. But the people that rent the motels and the B&B, those are people with less. They can't afford to rent a house. They can't afford to spend $1,000 a day to rent a house, and people that can afford to spend $1,000 a day, what's another $100? It's not gonna. It's just under fly a bat out of their eye. That's the deal.
All right, why don't we move on?
Yeah.
Libraries. Friends of the Bolinas Stinson Beach Library.
I have a report here from Carrie. It's rather long. Do you want me to read it or just post it?
Highlights. Thread or long?
Just checking with Terry.
Unless you read fast.
All right, I'll read fast. And then also she has left behind some, she only left one copy of these, so I'm just going to scan them and post them. But there's a You Are Here Exploring the Map, art by artists from Cedars of Marin Fine Art Studios. So that's an open reception January 5th through February 28th. I'll put that up front, but don't take it. I'll scan it. And then another event called Love Letters. A finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in Drama, this two-act full-length play reveals the story of enduring friendship, love, turmoil, and loss, as read through 50 years of love letters. Ideas for Valentine's Day here.
That's a presentation at the library?
It's read by
a dramatic
Kamala
reading.
Ford. It's a dramatic reading.
At
exactly.
The library.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there's some pamphlets for a book club. Coexisting with Coyotes.
You're sort of playing Vanna White.
I am.
Yes. You're doing a good job.
I need more sparkles. And Coyote Hazing.
Did you hear that? More sparkles, Kim.
I didn't know we were in a fraternity, but Coyote Hazing right here. So there you go. All right.
Why is that coming from the library?
I think it's just Carrie's passion. And these are posted in the library.
We don't have a humane society.
Exactly right. So quickly read. Here we go. Your library is doing great. Because we hired Aaron Fong for 4 hours a day, thanks to the Belina Stinson Beach Library Friends Group, I can make it to the Village Association meetings. I cannot make it today because I have an annual retreat for the board. I'm on CLAM, the Community Land Trust of West Marin, the group that helped the Stinson Beach buy the 31 Calle de Embarcadero, so we will still have affordable housing in perpetuity. We have had a wonderful art show this past year with fun openings, two presentations from our local docents for the Asian Art Museum, a great summer reading game with events for kids and teens. In January, the Stinson Beach Library welcomed our friends from the Cedars of Marin back for another fantastic art show. Cedars serves Marin adults experiencing intellectual and developmental challenges. Their artwork is always inspirational, and this year's show is no exception. You can enjoy the Cedars show now through February 27th. A monthly book group reads interesting memoirs. Weekly bridge games happen. The youth group comes every Monday to do their homework and hang out together before they get their free pizza from the Parkside. Camilla Ford goes to the Stinson School for story times twice a month. We have had children's craft workshops, making button flowers, origami boxes, folded cards. We had sing-alongs with Daniel's ukulele. 47 jigsaw puzzles have been done, with many more checked out to patrons. Coffee and Parkside pastries are shared every Monday morning. We have a special bag to mail away your unwanted and expired medicines for safe disposal.
Wow.
Coming up next week.
Send it to Sam.
I know, right? Next week, Camilla Ford and John Cozy will read a play, Love Letters, on February 13th at 6:30 p.m. They'll have buttons ready to make button flowers for Valentine's Day for the next week. The One Book, One Marin program supports reading and discussing strangers in their own land by Arlie Horschild on March 20th. Additional program and events are held throughout the library system during February and March and April to enrich your understanding of this year's book. We will also be showing a film about the environmental troubles in Louisiana on March 13th. In May, a staff member from Project Coyote will be talking about coexisting with coyotes. The date has not yet been finalized. All of these wonderful programs will continue on in 2018. Local artists on the art walk, local sing-alongs, interesting book reads, and discussed. We will plant veggies and strawberries and sweet peas soon. We're working to keep up our collection up to date and diverse, so let us know how we can help you. Thank you, Al Engel, for continuing to mow the field across from us. I think we need a croquet set. Thank you. Thank you to the Friends for their support of all three libraries, Stinson, Bolinas, and Bolinas Stinson School.
Lisa, do you know, is that schedule that you read posted anywhere?
I don't know that, to be honest. I suspect that it is on the library website. I can look it up, and if you think it's important, I can...
Yeah,
identify it better in the next posting that I send out.
Great.
Because this is great stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm happy to do that.
This was such a long report. Very nicely given.
Thanks.
I'd just like to highlight one of the points she made, which I think is a wonderful thing the library does, is to pick up these envelopes and get rid of your pills that are so difficult to dispose of. You just get an envelope and you pour all your pills in and take it down to the post office, postage free, it goes off to God only knows where.
Can't weigh more than certain number of ounces.
That's That's, you can get a lot of pills for that.
Well, can't you use
good.
Two things
yes,
or three?
I did.
So what difference does it make?
It's actually good to know because I know like that once a year we'll go through our stuff and get rid of and it's like, oh God, what do you do with it?
Well,
yeah,
and
Walgreens doesn't
take
it anymore.
Police station or something like that.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay.
I don't know whether that's...
I just give them to the
yeah,
town.
Yeah, what are
they
doing
with
them? Jan tried to turn in some of her outdated medications at Walgreens. And as Sam indicated, Walgreens won't take it.
No.
And she didn't want to flush it down.
No. Target takes it, and then the Marin Sheriff's twice a year kind of thing. I take mine to Marin City. I didn't know about this. I would have done that. I took mine over to the Marin Sheriff's substation, and they have a cop there taking.
If you read it, I didn't catch it. Is that just one day a week, or
no? Every day. Every day the library is open, you can go and ask for the envelope.
I have a container out front of my house, and I just lift it up, and you put
yeah,
it in there.
Yeah, people just drop their drugs out.
Then it's disposed of. It's not a problem.
It's not your problem, right?
You don't leave them at the library, though. You take it to the
no,
post office.
No, you take them to the post office, but it doesn't cost you anything.
That's good.
Moving on.
Can I ask about, my daughter was sitting out on the dock last night and heard coyotes. Has anyone seen a coyote around?
Moving on. Pamela,
yes, I have good news.
Good.
And I think it will support further good news every month. Joanna has started to print these up. She's the secretary over at the school. And right now we have an enrollment of 108, which is up from 102 at the start of the year. We also have two children in the pre-K from Stinson. We don't have any from Stinson for any of the other grades right now. They've
wow.
all graduated and they've gone to TAM. We did have some, but they're over TAM now. Now, what I really like, and I'm going to give this to you to put in as part of the report, is with pre-K, K1, and 2, we have exactly half of the student body. We have 54.
Hmm.
Who most of them, I think, are going to stay with us.
Cool.
So we have what we had always been hoping for. You know, when there you need serious change, it takes 5 years to a decade. That's just, you know. And so about 5-6 years ago, we were all sitting around saying, what can we do to boost the declining enrollment over there? And of course, we all decided that really boosting pre-K to K is the way to go, and having a great pre-K to K to 3 program was the way to do it. So it's happening. We're all quite pleased. I hope every month we'll be able to give you more information. We have 16 now in the pre-K. The word has gotten out that it's a good program. It's free. The parents love it. And they don't necessarily like flipping their kids over the hill to go to pre-K.
Wonderful.
So good news.
It is.
Good news.
Thank you.
Very well. May I submit this to you? Please. And I have two things for the good of the order.
Thank you.
All right. Do you want to talk about that now?
I'm having some trouble.
Sure.
Wait a second. Pamela's still.
My phone is talking.
Thank you.
Pamela's still with us. Hang on. Pamela?
Yes.
You said you wanted to get something for the good of the order?
I have two items.
But as long as you're.
Okay, and I'm starting a little early this year, but given, you know, the political situation, I thought it might be good to do. We are planning to have voting down here again in June and in November. The reason I'm bringing it up is that there has been increasing talk, which has not come to fruition, about having only mail-in ballots from the counties. This is taking place in other counties. And it has been talked around so far as this year goes, we will be open for both the June and the November elections. That can be subject to change, I know, but right now that is our plan.
You're having polls.
Huh?
You mean you're having polls.
Yes. Yeah. The second item, and again, it's a little bit in advance, but the census is coming up. And I'm one of the people here that does the census for West Marin, especially Bolinas. People are reluctant for some reason to go Jubilinas, and I don't have any problem. I know most of the kids are going to give me trouble. I know their grandparents, and you know that's that. It stops pretty fast. So we will be putting the word out about getting census workers. And it the good thing about it is that it does pay, and you can set your hours. The challenge about it is those can be difficult to do. It's more difficult a job than people normally first think. You're not going to be walking around and driving down tiny little roads and then backing out because you can't turn around here in West Marin. But it is so very, very important that we get an accurate census. And I will be, as they contact us more, the previous census workers, I will bring the information to this forum. Probably won't have any information until July. They'll be bringing up more information. But if you'd like to really make a contribution, please, can, any of a four-wheel drive especially.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you know if it's has been resolved whether or not the question of are you a citizen is going to be on
it
the census?
It has not been resolved. It is going to be battled for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you for that. I wasn't sure whether to bring it up or not.
Well, this is a very big deal because it's never been on the census before.
Never.
It's never been on the census.
Never. It doesn't matter for the census.
No, that's true.
It does not. In fact, where it matters is people might refuse to participate in the census.
That's true.
Right.
Every year, I always have, you know, every decade I've done it, somebody's always said, well, I don't want to be involved. And then I try to answer their concerns, you know. And I'm pretty successful, usually, you know, and persuading them that it helps the community. This is how federal and state and county money is allocated. By the numbers of people that are counted. And every year, especially in rural areas, we are undercounted.
And underfunded.
And underfunded subsequently to that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important. I'll bring any documents as they come to me over the next two years to this forum and submit it.
Great.
Yeah.
My question, how much an hour?
I don't know.
I have an idea. And I did have a question. Jeff brought up emergency services that we would be funded for. I thought that people that are consumers in emergency services, that their insurance has to pay, their medical insurance
it
pays
may,
for the services.
I guess that depends on their insurance. I don't know.
I don't think you can generalize, John.
Isn't the question availability of emergency services?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, the emergency services we have now, I imagine the helicopter ride, I understand it's 32,000.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you
buy insurance.
Well, yeah, I know. The insurance covers it. But if you
your
don't have
own
insurance.
Insurance. You have to have your own insurance.
Right, that's right.
If you don't have insurance.
And I think that.
And the ambulance is 2,500.
I think Medicare covers some of it.
All right, well, I think this is beyond the scope of advice we can offer. Al for Village Green, Seagrift, the executive reporter of the Community Center. Any report?
Well, the annual meeting is on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. That's 6 o'clock. We meet 6:30. The meeting starts. And Sam. Oh, we're doing some repairs on the refrigerator and
the board
down the tree in the back.
The board decided to fund the repair of the refrigerator which is $1,000 rather than replacing the refrigerator, which is many thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Our beloved maple tree is not long for this world. The arborist said that it really has to go. It's become a safety issue at this point. So, take a last look.
All right. May I ask a question? You had DocFest was supposed to, the proceeds were supposed to benefit the community center. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Well, some.
What, at the annual meeting, there will be reports from all of the community organizations that have representatives on the board of the community center, and there will be a report on the Doc Fest.
I don't know whether that check I wrote ever was deposited.
Have they cleared your bank?
Why don't you ask me?
Well, I'll have to check again.
But there will be a report about the Doc Fest, what the expenses and profits were from it.
I alerted Radoni's office to that meeting, thinking it would be a crossroads of the town.
Come on, let's have one meeting.
And whether he's going to be there or not, I don't know.
When is it?
Tuesday.
Tuesday at 6.
Yeah, coming Tuesday.
So social's at 6:30, start is at 7?
No.
Social at 6.
Starts at 6:30.
Okay.
It's a good meeting.
That's
a
very good meeting.
Oh, and there's a bingo, the last bingo of
sweetheart
the year.
Sweetheart bingo.
Does that mean your sweetheart goes?
No.
You can ask them right there.
I know the answer.
I am out of town.
Sorry, girls, it's just me again.
Are you
going to
be there?
Yeah.
Bingo is at 7.
February 9th.
Next
week. That's the last of the season.
That's the last of the season.
Yeah.
When
it starts up.
When is the bingo season?
It's winter.
It starts up again in November.
Standard time.
November through February.
And one of the real draws, Terry, is a wonderful spaghetti dinner.
Oh, it's okay.
And he helps with the preparation and serving. There's quite a few.
I don't help with the preparation.
Oh, just the serving?
I only did that once or twice. I'm at the bar. And Susie Nelson runs the bar, right? That's why I'm at the bar.
That's why I'm very good.
Yes, and by the way, we have a bar.
Yeah, that's something to add in.
Yes, we do have a bar.
Okay, noted.
The disaster.
No, you should come, Terry. It's fun.
The disaster council?
No report from Catherine.
How about the ambulance corps and fire department? Same thing?
Same.
Historical society?
The only thing I can say is that we're actually, I guess the first meeting of the year will be happening right before the community meeting this Tuesday at 5 o'clock. We're going to review the annual dinner results, but it was a success as far as I can tell. And I don't think Historical Society has decided. At one point they were thinking about doing something on the history of Cedra. There was some discussion of it, but then the momentum didn't quite pick up last year. So we'll see if there's more momentum this year. It's like a football game. You know, momentum.
Yes. Report on the medical center.
That's me.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read it because it's so concise. Written. For me, by Steve Siegel, our chief officer. Coastal Health Alliance finished 2017 in a strong financial position. CHCs are still facing a fiscal funding cliff with no appropriations or budget through next month. Anyone interested in advocacy? You can share the links I send you. That would be me. It's a note to me. I will give them to you if you want them. Dental van. Here's the cool thing. We have a dental van, and it's going to be in Bolinas. They're driving it all the way from Point Reyes to Bolinas. They actually have Saturday appointments. It's fantastic. It's going to be there next week, the week of the 12th. And there are some appointments available. Do you want to write down a number? 787-1123. That'll get you directly into the dental program. And here's a Stinson Beach maintenance is ongoing. And he says, never ending. The Stinson Beach utilization is less than 50% of capacity. And it's only open on Fridays. So please make appointments. We could use about 7 more appointments each Friday.
Hmm.
New physician started in January. His name is Dr. Gabriel Clapman. Staff retention and recruitment efforts continue. There's difficulty in finding local work, and because it's hard, and it's hard to staff because of housing, the usual. And because we compete with all the other northern county, all the way to Santa Rosa, and it's easier to find housing there. Or it was.
Yeah.
Was.
Fort Rumford. Yeah.
Coastal Health Alliance contracted with the Petaluma Health Center for a new chief medical officer. Dr. Munich will continue on as a physician, but he will not be our chief medical officer. It's better use of his time. And a practice redesign is happening. Coastal Health Alliance achieved patient-centered medical home certification for all 3 sites. That's hot stuff. 1 in 6 primary care physicians in America practices in the primary care recognition. And that we are able to say that we are a medical home in all 3 sites.
A medical home?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You didn't.
I must have missed, it sounded to me like the first thing you said was that the Coastal Health Alliance finished the year in a strong financial position.
We as an organization, are in a strong position.
And then
but
you said
we don't
there's
know
no
where
funding.
We're going.
There's no funding for this year.
No, that's...
Did I miss that?
That's because of Congress is not being able to pass a budget at the moment.
For the coming
okay.
year. We don't know what we do depend on some government funding. And if they close down or whatever happens, we will suffer like everybody else. But we're pretty good.
Yeah, Ann.
Will the clinic here be getting a doctor?
It has a nurse practitioner right now.
Will it be getting a doctor?
No. Not to my knowledge, but that can change.
Okay.
If anyone has ever been treated by Carrie Chase, she's incredible. Trier.
There used to be a connection with Kaiser, is that?
It is.
It is.
Okay.
You're out of
water.
Water,
excuse me.
Yes, I have news. As you're all aware, we're going through a pre-drought situation, so we're encouraging water conservation. We're not going into any type of a rationing program at this point. However, if it continues, we do have a rationing program in place, and we did not have to implement that last year during the drought, and we hope not to have to do that again. But we do encourage that conservation. The work at the Highlands Tank number 1 has been completed. We're negotiating with the contractor who did that work to make similar repairs and refurbishment to the Highlands Tank number 2. Our permit for our new well up at the Laurel treatment plant has been appealed to the Coastal Commission. There will be a hearing in Cambria on February the 8th, and we have received a preliminary staff report that looks like they will support our efforts to get a permit for that.
Good. Yes.
Somebody objected or what?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, somebody has appealed to the Coastal Commission. To reduce the fire hazard in light of the disasters that we had up in Santa Rosa. We have removed some trees within the enclosed area up at the Highlands Tank. There were some dead trees. There's several large pines that are in the process of being removed. The parking lot at the district office will be repaved February 12th to the 14th. However, the office will be open, but you will have to park out on the main road and then walk in to the office. We encourage you to be careful in doing that. Anything else? No?
No.
Who's doing the tree removal?
Clemens. Tree people.
This is what you said, fire protection. This is mainly a wake-up call for what went on in Santa Barbara and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or Santa Rosa, or everywhere.
Yes.
Okay. I always check, Maury. I've got 13 inches total on my little water gauge. What's yours?
Yeah, that's I got my water gauge a little more lenient than yours. I've got about 14 inches.
Okay.
It's a significant reduction from last year.
From last year, yeah.
Is your button bigger? Is that what you're
doing? It rains more down there.
He does.
The conservation measures are going to be put in place. Is that going to mean that people's lawns aren't going to be able to water their lawn?
No. No, it's you'll be able to water your landscape on Sundays and Tuesdays.
Wednesdays.
You can contact the district office and get specific information. That is not in place yet. We don't have any restrictions at this point as to when you can water and how much. We just want people to keep in the back of their mind that we're not getting as much rain this year as we did last year. We're hoping for a March miracle. We're hoping that February is going to produce some, but the forecast for the first half of February is it's going to be dry.
Yep.
Oddly, we now go to flood advisory.
I think I mentioned what I know about. They have a meeting coming up. And,
okay.
There's a meeting the 7th. The state assemblyman is going to be there. I think Mark Levine, I think his name is. And also the Farwise community. There's going to be speakers from the Farwise community talking about hardening houses against entry of embers. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask you a question when we get to your area, the permits. Are permits going to be required to harden houses for fires?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what
the... I think Kenny would know. The chief of the fire district.
What does it mean?
Well, it's a new topic. It's a new it's a new method by which you keep houses from burning by using fire mesh to keep the embers from entering. Similar to the mosquito thing with the netting on the pipes on the outflow of the pipes the vent pipes
on this roof
keep for embers from going down the vent pipes. Also eaves where there's eaves are roofs that for the purposes of water runoff people extend their roofs out. Those are harbingers for fire because the protected area underneath the roof becomes superheated and causes combustion. Peter, do you know anything about that?
I can just interject that the water district, as a proactive measure, put non-combustible surfaces on their the buildings out by the Laurel Grove. There's pump stations out there, and so we've done that. And my experience with a fire like we've had up in Santa Rosa would be down in the Santa Cruz Mountains, where they had large fires, and the only houses that survived were the ones that had non-combustible roofs and non-combustible exteriors.
And what type of materials were you guys using?
For our purposes, it was a non-combustible siding that we applied to it.
Siding?
On the roof.
Siding and I believe the roof is already non-combustible.
Yeah.
Is that a state law or?
No, it's just a proactive measure.
But that, do they use asbestos anymore or not?
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
But
more potent.
The eaves, I mean the continuation of the roof, with the fire, what happens is the heat gets trapped there, and it causes the windows to crack, to break, and then the fire enters into the house. That's what was happening in Ventura, in Santa Barbara.
You have rain gutters and
as well as Santa
Rosa.
Yeah. Okay, we're now on to the community church report.
Well, everything's fine at the community church. Ellen Baxter is our new minister, but we told you about her, and she's going to be introduced at the Stinson Beach annual meeting. Nothing really to report, I don't think.
Apparently, when you ring the bell, you can't hear it on inside.
It's all right. If you're inside,
I guess
you're
they're trying to get people to come in.
we're unable to ring the bell right now, and we are talking about that.
Well, they rang it today.
Oh, really? I didn't hear.
Well, maybe it didn't work.
We thought that's why you showed up. I rang the bell.
So
okay.
They were able to fix the thingy?
It rang.
Fix the thingy. That's a technical.
Okay. West Vernon Senior Services.
Yes.
And I work out
all
here.
Of the skin report.
Aches and pains.
Sorry.
Not all of us. It's like our Alzheimer's bridge.
When I was listening to the reports about the medical center, it reminded me. Is it known that we have a vet in town now?
Mm-hmm. She was introduced at the holiday luncheon.
Okay.
She loves this place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt to talk about it again.
I wish to heavens I knew her name. Janet, my wife.
Lilium Alfaro. Yes, that's right.
My wife took our older cat Rebate in, and she just
Rebate.
They have to rename the cat. The other one's name is Marmalade.
Jan, who is very protective of the cats, thought that she was just a wonderful pet.
Mm-hmm.
She is a wonderful pet.
My purchasing.
Yeah,
she is.
Where is she?
She's at the vet's office on the highway next to the gym, next to Highway 1.
Yeah.
It's called Loving Kindness Veterinary.
The same time.
So did Rob retire or just replace him? Well, he actually moved to back to his home country with it. He has a here I'm telling you as well. And his main thing now is dog psychology.
Yes.
Because it pays more. I don't know, I shouldn't say that, but he is just temporarily, so I think he leased it out to this new vet, and it's unclear whether he comes back at some point. I mean, this is what I've heard.
He's not coming back. No.
Yeah, so he's over in the Netherlands, I think it is. Right, and she wanted to move, and so he's already was dabbling with pet psychology or therapy, I guess you could say. So I believe that's what happened.
Aren't we digressing?
We are. But you brought up your pet. You started.
Give him the hamburger, throw the ball.
We talked about senior services.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Throw the hamburger.
Committee reports. Is there a traffic report?
I don't believe so.
Flood mitigation?
That, I suppose, is the advisory board.
Compliance review.
We haven't seen any applications, though we've seen the appeal that Maury mentioned, and I was to write them. We've already written one letter that's part of the record. I think yesterday was the deadline, so I'll get something out.
So you didn't
but you're no longer present.
Because it was really helpful last night.
I shall.
Okay.
We appreciate that.
What is compliance review?
Where there's a permit application.
You're going to love this. In order to get that letter to the board, the Coastal Commission commissioners, You have to write a letter to each commissioner.
Oh.
Plus all the alternates. Separately. How many of them are there?
Did we vote yet?
20 something?
Yeah, she's just
probably won't be that tired.
I've done it. So if you need any help, call me.
How about email?
All
right.
Just tell me what to do.
Is there a report from the Keep the Beach Clean Committee? No, nothing. I know there's nothing on the coastal program amendments.
If you want.
Yeah, what's the status?
There is some. There's.
Yeah, it's not. It's still largely in limbo. I talked to Jack again maybe a month ago. There is an important action coming up. It was planned for the week between Christmas and New Year's so that no one would hear about it in the queue. But the Coastal Commission has a draft guidance document for homeowners that's an extension of their original draft guidance document that became their guidance document in Zero Run. This one would govern all single-family and two-family, two-unit homes, residential. And it basically, this one is a lot more onerous. They basically kind of took all the bad stuff from our LCP that we rejected and threw it in there.
Oh.
So it would cover all the coast of California. It's supposed to be guidance only and not used as policy, but we've had, I think, three attorneys submit to the draft saying, you guys are using words like shall and must, and actually it's already been used in a letter to a applicant governed by the Coastal Commission under direct jurisdiction, and the policy and the guidance was actually used as policy to justify turning down their application.
Oh.
So you're using this as de facto policy against California law. So we filed a number of kind of shots over the bow from attorneys. The next step would be finding if they move forward on it, probably finding a test case and actually taking them to court. Beyond that, the final version of it is supposed to come out sometime between February and March now, after the outcry about the week of Christmas, New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
They postponed it. So there will be a chance for additional final commentary probably coming up within the next month to 2 months. And
this is regarding the so-called guidance letter?
The so-called guidance letter for residential. That would directly govern us. In other words, that what we have been told by the county, this is hearsay from a contact with the county. The county was told that they were going to put further discussion of our LCPEH on hold because they wanted that guidance document to govern any decision they made about our LCP, which again is an inappropriate use of policy, but of guidance. But so that's why we're in limbo, and that document becomes kind of the next part of the fight.
Can you come in March and discuss this more?
Sure. I have to just look at my calendar. If I don't come, probably I'll send someone with knowledge from the board that's from our board that is on the our ad hoc legal. And I guess I'm going to add kind of an adjunct to this one here, too, to ours here. And we'll have another round. We're going to have another round of legal letters fired off. At that point, we make contact with Pacific Legal Foundation. We're undecided. And it wouldn't be unhelpful to have a letter hear from here officially when that comes up, and or from, especially from folks here that are attorneys, you can kind of talk succinctly to kind of the violations that we see going on, not just the content.
They can't do that.
So
and
is
they
this,
can't bypass the LCP
can,
program.
But they actually have. In
right.
Exactly. Already, yes.
So is this what's happening to the environmental hazard section of the local coastal
that's
program?
That's what I'm saying. It's in limbo. They have literally...
So they're doing this first before they get to that?
Last time, yeah, the old director for our area that we had a lot of problems with retired.
Oh.
Her right-hand person, who was Shannon, who was kind of the point person we were all complaining about 2 years ago, she got moved. So the new director coming in is supposed to be much more amenable to working with the county constructively, but she's on maternity leave. So
yeah.
In the meantime, the LCP deadline for the rest of the amendments, non-EH, comes up in May. She doesn't think she's going to be back from maternity leave until right about then. They have told us in negotiations while she's gone with their lawyers present, or sorry, they've told the county with lawyers present, they are going to basically not review until the point at which the guidance document is approved and use that as the subject rather than using kind of her decision if they move forward with it. Whether that can happen in time for May or not seems very unlikely. So it's a guess, but my guess is kind of the same thing I said last time. I think the county's probably going to end up marching forward towards May, submit all the stuff other than the EH and just consider it closed. And that would be the best thing for us if we can get that, if we can win that legal battle, if Coastal Commission accepts that. Otherwise, it just goes back into, you know, another 8-year fight.
So if the EH is not approved, then the statutes and guidance in Unit 1 and 2 are still
would
in
still
effect?
Would still be a governing document for everyone. Anyone that is not subject to direct Coastal Commission jurisdiction, and that is a relatively minor percentage of our community. Uh-huh. It includes my house. But, but it's basically a small swath on Dipsy and a small swath on Cayo del Arroyo. That would be governed by that guidance document instead of by our old 1 and 2. But I mean, it would be the biggest win we could have temporarily would be for the county to move forward without EH and just close the whole matter.
Yeah.
That would probably be the best thing for us. It would probably quietly go away then.
Unless this guidance document gets implemented.
Unless they start enforcing that aggressively, they have not to date except for one house.
Okay. This is so important. Can we have this at the start of March's meeting rather than at the very end? And also, we need to publicize this.
Probably. The guidance document, I think the battle there, Pamela, is likely to be more legal than content. In other words, a bunch of us saying, I don't like it because this is what it would impact, how it would impact my house.
Right.
We don't know that that's very effective at this stage because the substantive stuff already came from the earlier document. They basically took that and applied it down to residential extent in extending it. It could be useful to have that.
I think a lot of people, since the November 2016 meeting, interest is kind of waned. People haven't thought about this, but I think it's important.
You know what? That's a good point, and we should probably reactivate interest, and then I don't know if we'll get a letter writing campaign, but we should make sure everyone's aware of it. Because I think the next step is if the county starts to get weak-kneed towards May, we need a lot of pressure applied on that. We need to get all those other amendments submitted and EH not. That will be a big fight where we will need to rally the community to just pummel Dennis. And I think he is in agreement, but he needs to see that we're...
Is the document available
we
to the
are
public?
Very strong about that.
Yes.
The document is available. And if anyone would like a copy,
where?
You have to go to the Coastal Commission site. I mean, believe me, it's not easy to find.
It's
like
on
to
the
make
Coastal Commission website.
We should put it on our...
Can we have a link to
if
it?
If you would like to contact, yeah, go ahead and get a hold of me after this, or I'll get a hold directly. I'll come and catch you.
Sounds good.
And we can get a link put up for the document. I have copies of the document. Again, it's 50 megabytes or something. So
one of those.
And it's that thick, you know. So, but if anyone is interested in reading, responding, there are ways to do that.
Jeff, what would you most like us to do?
I think the biggest thing would be close coordination as we were going to start to have a meeting, but we're going to probably do that late February, early March, as when the final, kind of the penultimate commentary, will be their final document, and we'll have 30 days. The best thing we could do, I believe, would be to coordinate to get a official letter from the SBBA in opposition, and probably at least one attorney from this group that could write something kind of echoing what all the other attorneys are saying. And there's a number. It's not just Seadrift. There's some up and down the state doing this as well. We can help coordinate that. That would look strong if it came from an impacted coastal community rather than PLF, which is kind of a, you know, I don't think they're taken seriously because they're kind of a lobby group. But they'll take much more seriously our direct feedback as an community. They take that seriously.
Are you coordinating the draft attorney letters?
I will at that time. I'm going to meet with a few folks and kind of I guess is the answer. I will. I mean, not make it a long answer.
Because I was thinking that instead of starting from scratch, we'd have some template.
Exactly. That's what we're working on. Well, I will kind of personally help get that. We have a couple we can use from the last round. And we'll draw from those, but we need to see what's in that final document and how they responded. We have no idea. I mean, we logged 3 or 4 very, very detailed legal, you know, you're violating state law, we're going to go take you to court kind of things. Any lawyer would look at it and go, they're laying down groundwork for a filing. And we need to see specifically how they respond and their staff report coming back to respond to each of those independently. That's the long answer to it, but I'll coordinate the time. content.
And where are you going to get a plaintiff to back litigation?
I really need a lot of work done in my house. I mean, unfortunately, it's going to come down to that. We have to decide. There's a standings question. I can take that offline.
Okay.
There's a whole interesting debate about how we find standing.
Okay.
Thank you. Would you mind, just because I'm already talking, can I put in a little note about the next one, advisory committee to address the overall?
I was hoping you would.
You may have seen in the light, I think that just came out yesterday, a nice article about the county having secured some money to hire a esteemed sedimentation expert. He'll be looking at dune restoration options, just doing the science part. Are there options along Upton Beach, the county-controlled part of Stinson Beach, you know, because that breaks into multiple sections, where it's probably very specifically vulnerable, especially for people that live behind that, and what they could do in terms of dune restoration for flood mitigation, sea level rise issues, and wildlife habitat. This is not public yet, but we just received through Gulf of the Farallones a very nice $50,000 challenge grant that we hope we can use to raise a lot more money in this area to extend that doctor's work, that professor's work, and look at other areas where living shorelines could be implemented along the Bolinas Lagoon or possibly out on the ocean side to get additional erosion and flood control. We all know how bad Cayo del Arroyo gets during floods. As sea level rise goes, all our homes out there are threatened, especially in the Cayos and Arroyo. So we've now got a very juicy grant, and hopefully we can turn that into another $100,000 and get additional science done to look at places where we could do. He has agreed as part of his walking of Upton and doing the science there, he'll go walk some other sections and take a look at other places where we might do sea level rise prevention. So that's nice.
Great.
Yeah, I saw that article myself, and in it said, at the bottom of the article, it talked about several agencies that were supporting this, were in favor of it, one of which was the Stinson Beach County Water District.
Yes.
And I just said to Maury as we're walking here, what did we do? He said to me, I don't know. So
I think you sent him a letter. I don't know if you know you did. I know that the county contacted me, and I said, you know, the people that could talk about Upton Beach would be go contact this organization,
okay.
See if they could write it in and contact the water district. So I think the county folks went off to do that.
Okay, well,
you may have. I don't know.
Ask Ed.
Ed's good about keeping us appraised of what's going on. I haven't seen anything about it, but we'll certainly. Ask.
This was more like. It's more like a friendly letter and support thing the county and the Gulf of Fairlands did all.
Right, I remember that letter. There was a letter that
yeah.
said we were behind
Bingo.
You.
That's
1,000%.
Right.
Maybe.
And did we do a letter?
I thought you did, but I wasn't here when it got done. Did you?
Did we?
That doesn't sound familiar.
Maybe we should.
I thought we were listed in it, but I could be wrong. I thought that was an article too.
Sorry, Kima.
Who's our letter writer in town?
I do it,
yeah,
or
yeah.
Sarah.
It would have been 3 or 4 months ago.
I don't think
really.
Yeah,
I
was
not
in 2014.
We're now down to the good of the order. Does anyone have anything further to bring up? If not, it would be time for somebody to step forward and move to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
Good meeting, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wraps. I did forget something.
What's that?
Too late.
No. So John Archibald was supposed to coordinate PG&E coming, and I think that's a really important topic. And I know he's a new father, so I think I will try to take that on for next month.
No, he's my next door neighbor. Right. Dad, I'll call him.
Okay,
and
sounds
been,
good. Yeah, have him contact me, because then I can get it on next door.
You know what? You know what we haven't heard about for a while?
What?
Is the shoulder widening.